So good morning, everybody. I want to talk a little bit about carbon storage, carbon sequestration in urban forest soils. And people in New York know quite good the numbers. This is close to Madison Square Garden, where you can see on top a clock running showing the increase in metric tons carbon emissions. And on the bottom, this, can we turn up down the light a little bit? It's too bright. And this red line at the bottom is the atmospheric carbon dioxide concentration for the last 800,000 years. So you see this steep increase at the end. So we should really worry about this, because there are some proposed values where we should stay lower than 350 ppm of atmospheric carbon dioxide in the atmosphere to preserve life support processes of planet Earth. And we also know that the cities in the US emit a lot of greenhouse gases. There's a recent study showing the per capita emissions for Denver, Los Angeles, and New York City. But we also know that urban settlements that include cities, human settlements including cities, store carbon, because 10% of the land carbon storage in the conterminous USA is located in human settlements. And of this, 64% is stored in soils. So we should really also protect or increase the carbon storage of cities. And one strategy that we can use is the biological carbon sequestration. So we should define what is carbon sequestration. For a recent upcoming book, I defined it's the increase in the total pool of organic carbon in forest vegetation, detritus, and soil. And in particular, it's the increase of organic carbon compounds with long carbon residence times. So we know there are a lot of compounds around in the environment, and I only highlighted two of those important compounds. One has received a lot of attention recently, black carbon, also related to biochar, and our focus is the stable soil organic matter fraction. So what do we know about the carbon storage in urban trees and soil for the conterminous US? There are some estimates based on data from 10 cities from Novak and Crane showing that 25.1 megagram carbon per hectare is stored in trees. In soil, between 71 and 86 megagram carbon per hectare to 1 meter depth for 6 cities, the data. For Ohio, we know that, or we have some estimates for the trees. Urban trees in Ohio store 35.4 megagram carbon per hectare and sequester 1.1 megagram carbon per hectare. But we have no data on urban forest soil carbon for Ohio. And this was the reason why we started looking at carbon storage in the city of Columbus, Ohio. And important for an urban study is always to take a look at the history, the development of Columbus, Ohio. It was a dense forest land characterized as dense forest land around 1800 and rapidly developed, and population increased from 3,500 to 750,000 people. And the economy is quite diverse, so we don't have an, this is also important when you look at urban soils, what might be the disturbance if you have a heavy industry, a steel industry, but it's very diverse in Columbus, Ohio, the industry. And the soils, the vegetation is, deciduous trees are common in this area. And currently, the expansion of Columbus occurs on mainly on prime farmland. And I will show there from two parks in Columbus, Ohio. One is Clinton Como Park. It's around 8 hectares in size, and 1.6 hectare is a mixed deciduous forest. Important for the soil properties, it's at the east bank of Olentangy River, so it's affected also by flooding. During sampling, we noticed that it's deeply rooted, that we found glass fragments, we found charcoal, we found sediment also on surface, and earthworms were abundant. And we had some disturbance on the southwest corner by dam construction, so we couldn't, yeah. So this is Clinton Como Park. This is the forest here, and in this corner we couldn't sample any soils. It was so hard to get in there with our probe. I will show later. And this is the Olentangy River running down to the south. Okay, the next park is Driving Park, 9.8 hectare in size, about 3.1 hectare mixed deciduous forest. And an interesting history, this park was used, or this area was used, as an equine racing complex for horses and later for automobiles. So this you have to keep this in mind for the disturbance you will see in the soil profile. And during sampling, we saw urban waste on the surface in this park. We saw construction waste in the subsoil. We realized we had some glass fragments, also coal fragments. And this park is also disturbed, in addition to the history, by railway dam to the east. So this is this long stretch here is driving park. This is the forest down there, and this is the railway dam. And we sampled with a motor-driven soil hammer to 1 meter depth, 9 centimeter in diameter, and cut into 10 centimeter increments, processed the samples, analyzes their bulk density, texture by the pipette method, carbon by dry combustion, and of course correction for the carbonates to get the organic carbon. Some data here, the physical properties, lower bulk density in the surface, and not much changes in the subsurface. And this was, according to the texture, we found was a loam to silt loam. And all the sampling sites, 10 sampling sites per forest, were georeferenced, so the soil survey geographic database would characterize this as a silt loam, at least for the top 40 centimeter, but a lower, higher bulk density. The second park, driving park, again, lower bulk density in the surface, increasing higher measurement, higher values in depth, but no densification with depth. And this was described for by us as a clay loam to silt clay loam, silty clay loam, and but the soil geographic database characterizes as a sandy loam. So important data, of course, carbon storage, the soil organic carbon stock in those forested urban parks. Clinton Como, you have this steep increase with depth, and when you sum up the storage, we calculated a value of 221.6 megagram per hectare. For driving park, also a steep decrease with depth, and in total 161.9 megagram carbon per hectare, organic carbon. So a former colleague of mine, Terry Tan, made some modeling of Ohio, of forests in Ohio, non-urban forests, and he had a range between 49 and 239 megagram per hectare. And of course, the peatland forest had much higher hectares. So with our values, we are in the upper third of the forest in Ohio. And it's really hard then to compare it to other real data from urban forests. And during a recent conference in New York, Richard Shaw showed us some profiles in New York City. And he calculated between 97 and 145.3 megagram carbon per hectare. And there are some data also from Baltimore, 115.6 megagram per hectare. So the talk so far was, of course, not about carbon sequestration according to our definition. We have to take a look at the organic carbon quality on the organic carbon compounds. And one indicator of this quality is the CN ratio. You see there are not many changes going on in Clinton Como Park. Normally you would expect that with the surface input of organic matter that's wide in CN, there should be a wider CN ratio in the top 10 centimeters or in the top surface in the surface layers, but this was probably transported away by frequent flooding there. So in driving park, you even have a slightly different picture, even some increases with depth, but still a high variability in deeper layers. So with this indication of coal fragments, charcoal, and the disturbance of subsurface layers, we really have to take a look what kind of carbon do we have. We can do some proxy, we can look for some proxies for stabilized soil organic matter with a higher residence time. And one outlook is now to physically fractionate our soil with a sequential density particle size fractionation to really get some values on the quality of this carbon we have to compare those different urban forest soils. We can also do a chemical fractionation, separating non-oxidizable from mineral-associated organic matter. And of course, it's also nice to take a look at the mineralogy. We really have to look in terms of carbon sequestration on mineral surfaces, on their how reactive are they. Another idea would be to analyze the different physical fractionated soil fractions by solid state NMR spectroscopy. So we also are planning to do additional sampling in Franklin County. So far, I showed you data from two urban forest soils. We could sample up to 8 urban forests. We are planning also to look for a baseline site, and there is one in Blacklick Woods Metro Park. That's one of the least disturbed beech maple forests in central Ohio, to look for somehow a maximum soil organic carbon storage, and also to compare to an agricultural land use on similar soil type as a minimum soil organic carbon storage. But when you see this table, you realize that at the moment, with the urban forests, we cover only 10% of the land use in Franklin County, and Columbus is within Franklin County. So we also have to take a look at these more disturbed urban sites, really, to get an idea what is going on in this quickly urbanizing landscape in terms of carbon storage. So there are some focus areas we have to take a look at. These are data from the Midwest Ohio, I can't recall the name. So they identified some areas. The Franklin County is in the middle here with Columbus in the middle. And here are some areas identified where they expect in the future a lot of changes will go on. And we need to really address what does this mean for the carbon storage in the landscape. So conclusions, we could show that the carbon storage in urban forest soils must also be included in the carbon budget for Ohio, because 8.5% of the land area is currently under urban land use. We should protect the urban forest. They sequester carbon, that they take up carbon by photosynthesis, transfer it to the soil. They have a cooling effect by this to reduce the increase in atmospheric CO2. And there are also some ideas by Daniel Richter and colleagues to use this biomass that is produced in an urban forest to replace fossil fuel use. But we should also be aware we don't really entirely understand the effects of urban forests on the climate. One indicator is this emission of biogenic volatile organic compounds. They can have a cooling and heating effect depending where you are. Because they're affecting the aerosol, the ozone, and the cloud formation. And we should also be aware that urban forests have biophysical effects, for example, albedo and hydrology. So I want to thank the Climate, Water, and Carbon Program of the Ohio State University for funding this research and some references at the end. Thanks a lot. I'm not aware of any.
Why do you think that you had more carbon than the soils in New York and Baltimore? Was it perhaps there's more clay in your soil?
Of course, we know the mineralogy, as I indicated. More reactive clay surfaces can absorb more carbon, of course, but it's hard, of course, even for the natural soils to compare, if you don't have the same soil type, the difference in carbon storage. So you really have to take a close look. Maybe it's relatively rural, Columbus, compared to New York City, of course. So the disturbance was not so like in New York City. So by disturbance, you oxidize the carbon, you lose the carbon. Less disturbance in Columbus would mean there is still a lot of carbon stored in the soil. Yeah, I have I would like to open soil profiles, but it's hard in discussion with the Columbus Parks and Recreation to get permission to open soil profiles to take a closer look. It's only a 9 centimeter soil core, 1 meter deep. So, and the about forest age, I don't got any data from them, so I have to assess it by myself. I haven't done it yet. But that's a good point, of course. And there are also no data really on the history, what was really going on there for the last 150 years on this area where I have sampled. So it's all somewhere hidden in gray literature, so I have to take really a close look in the interpretation of the data. Yeah, a colleague of mine sitting in the last row, she's looking at lawn, what lawns have an effect. She's looking at lawns.
Okay. Thank you.
Thanks.